Our gospel reading this day comes from Mark in the 7th chapter. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all of the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? He said to them, Isaiah prophesies rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition. Then he called the crowd again and said to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is written from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly, all of these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. The gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So this morning I got up to the pulpit and I realized the light above me is out. I hope that's not like an indication of like preaching here or something. Okay. Well, grace and peace to you, my friends, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So when Becky and I moved here to Eagle River from seminary housing in Dubuque, Iowa, there was one particular thing that we were very, very excited about. A dishwasher in our house. You see, in seminary housing, we spent 4 years, four long years, washing dishes by hand. And it sort of became this ritual, but more of a forced ritual, right, that we did. In our gospel passage this morning, Mark is detailing some of those washing rituals practiced by the Jewish people of Jesus' day. They had a lot of these cleansing rituals, both for hygienic reasons, which are good reasons, right? But also for religious reasons. And it was these religious reasons that these rituals were meant to prepare yourself, to set yourself apart, ready for holy things. It was about re-sanctifying yourself to God and obedience to God's commandments. Unwashed hands, for instance, had nothing to do with sin, but had to do with common and secular things. Washing your hands sanctified them, making them no longer common, but holy. Just as washing food from the market and washing your dishes were also to make them prepared and holy, as well as the people who were going to use them and made them sanctified and holy, ready for meals, right? Ready for holy things. Now, Jesus is not criticizing hand washing. And another important thing to note here is that Jesus is also not criticizing Jewish rituals. After all, Jesus himself is a Jew. Rather, Jesus is sparring with the Pharisees over the way that they use the Jewish law to judge and condemn other people. The Pharisees are the religious leaders of the day. They are the interpreters of the law. They have extensive knowledge about the Jewish teachings and the Torah, and they are the authorities when it comes to what is considered clean and the rituals that you have to do for washing and cleansing. And yet, with all of this knowledge, Jesus is pointing out that they've missed something. They've missed something along the way. I think in our time and place, I think similar scenarios play out across the religious landscape, particularly the Christian church here. You see, because it's not what we do that makes us Christian. It's not our traditions or what we wear that makes us Christian. It's not the songs that we sing or the sign outside that says Joy Lutheran Church that makes us Christian. It's not how much scripture we memorize or how much we volunteer or how much we give in offerings. These are human things that Jesus points out. And these are not bad things. These are not bad things in and of themselves. These are good things. But we have to remember that they are simply vehicles to something deeper. To something deeper. At the center of all of these things is God. And for us Christians, it's God in Jesus Christ. God who comes down in the flesh and who lives and dwells with us. Earnestly following Jesus changes our hearts. How can it not? Jesus constantly models for us, above all things and the people that he meets, Jesus models for us compassion, which, if you break that word down, means to suffer with, to be in solidarity with. Jesus models compassion. There's a meme that is going around Facebook, and it pops up every once in a while on some of the clergy Facebook pages. I think I may have quoted it before. It says that if your faith causes you to judge or condemn your neighbors, you are doing it wrong. Right? So true. If we are to follow Jesus, our hearts have to follow him too. Our hearts have to follow him first and foremost. Jesus is criticizing the Pharisees for using the law over and above people. And I think it reveals that perhaps the hearts of the Pharisees, their hearts are not really in the rituals. That their worship is in vain. That it's empty. Because it doesn't seem like they have yet learned compassion. Furthermore, Jesus teaches that just as what we eat does not defile us, so too the things that we do as Christians are not what makes us righteous or cleanses us either. It's a heart thing. This faith, this following Jesus, is a heart thing. It's what comes from within that defiles a person, Jesus says. And the word defile here in the original Greek, koinou, has this connotation of something that is unholy, something that pollutes or desecrates. So then Jesus goes on to make this, to give us this list of a whole bunch of things which come up from the human heart, which pollute our relationship with God, our relationship with ourselves, and our relationships with our neighbors. Jesus's words are meant to speak an uncomfortable truth, that we are all sinners in need of God's mercy, love, and healing. And here is the good news, my friends. Here is the good news, that we don't earn it, that there's nothing that we need to do to receive it. God's grace is free. It is free, and it's only meant to be received. That's what makes it the good news. We do not need, like dishes, to pre-rinse or pre-soak. We don't need to clean ourselves up or to get ourselves right with God first before we come to God. That is the good news. There's no barrier, there's no litmus test for our readiness for God, because God is always ready for you. God is always ready for you. In our Lutheran tradition, like our Catholic siblings and our ecumenical partners, we have this practice of confession and forgiveness. And like I said earlier, it's not what makes us Christian. It's not this tradition that just makes us Christian. It's not about going through those motions, but it's a heart thing. It's about making space and recalling God's love for us, God's mercy and compassion. It's about making space for that love to encounter us in order to constantly cleanse and transform our hearts, to align them more with God. I think that we need to be reminded continually that we are loved by God, because there are all these other voices in the world that will tell us that that is not so. There's a lot of voices in the world that will say, yes, but, and make it conditional. So you may have noticed in worship, or maybe not, that sometimes we alternate between confession and forgiveness and giving thanks for baptism like we did today. This is because confession is really about a return to our baptism. A return to the promises that God made at our baptism. It's where our life began with Jesus. At that font, God claims us again over and over as God's own beloved children. It's in baptism where God's wave of mercy and forgiveness makes us new over and over again. And it's here that we can come as ourselves, our full, authentic selves, to receive God's love. And then, wholly soaked in God's renewing love, you are freed from the burden of shame and guilt and any need to hide yourself from God or from one another. It's in this freedom, then, that we confidently go from this place into the spheres of our daily lives, loved and freed to serve and love our neighbors for Jesus' sake. This is the good news, my friends. Thanks be to God. Amen.